Hey, Bart, we're at it again, aren't we?
Yep, another episode.
Oh, it's been an insane week for both of us.
It's been a few weeks since the last episode, so we thought, you know, we'd grace everyone with another one.
It's been fun, but it's been insane just trying to, like, get together.
Yeah, that's it. The problem is we have worked with so many podcasts, and now we're doing our own. And now it's easy to see how complicated doing a podcast is.
Well, I think with us, it's just trying to find stories that nobody else is doing. Because you and I listen to so many other stuff.
Exactly. That and just getting together and finding time to record.
Yeah, because next week I'm going to be gone. You've got, like, four things today. We're recording on Saturday. it's been good, though. That's something, 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 something.
Exactly. There's usually something going on every weekend.
For me, it's been, like, every day. Like, this month and almost next month, I think I have something every single day. Like, even weekend. Weeknights and everything else. Are we ready to, jump into the black hole?
Exactly. Well, like I said, we've got something every weekend. Last weekend, we had something big.
Oh, yes. Last week was fun.
Last weekend, there was about 3 or 4 hour long Bigfoot program at the Akron Main Library. Mm-hmm. And we saw, I don't remember, who was the first group who was there?
I kind of came through, was already started.
Yeah.
It was Southern Bigfoot.
The Southern Ohio Bigfoot Association. Mm-hmm. And he talked for about an hour, and then Seth Breedlove was there with his documentary, and he did a Q&A afterwards.
Was that was Southern Bigfoot Investigators, wasn't it?
I'm actually looking it up as we speak.
Yeah, this is what it is. SOSBI. Southeastern Ohio Society for Bigfoot Investigations. You know, he had some really, really interesting stories when I came in, because I missed, like, the first few minutes of it.
Mainly what he had with his program was a lot of first-hand encounters that were told to him. Mm-hmm. Either first-hand encounters or third-person encounters, whereas he was told a story of somebody else by someone they knew.
Because I know the 5 or 6 stories he told, they all seem to take place around the same time. Like, year didn't matter, but it was all, like, what, August to February, would you say? The majority of them were, like, fall.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting. Makes me want to go camping sometime in the fall.
Yeah, I'm good with not camping in the fall. I've lived in Ohio long enough to know that it's not good.
Hey, I've camped where I didn't need a refrigerator, where my cabinet, where the sink is, was cold enough to keep my food cold.
Yeah, I've done the same. It was in the summer. I also had a television with me, and I was also a teenager. So that explains why I had the television with me.
I did have a little bit of electricity, but that's all I had. Let's see. Yeah, because he talked about, let's see, one that was in Noble County.
Yes.
Back in 84, and that was January, February. He had another one that was Salt Fork, October 2013. There was another one that's, I think this is the one that you said you said was a third party. It was 08-09. August Salt Fork also.
Was that the person who told the story that he was going to go pick up his friend?
I don't know. This is the one, they went down the really bad road.
Yes.
They spun the truck around. I think it was him and his wife. And they jumped in the truck when whatever was plowing up at him.
Yes.
And see, this one was another one. It's August 2013 in Knox County. This one was Athens 2015 fall again, and Cambridge 2014 fall again. And see, I have a couple different, like, local family stories that kind of coincide with all this too.
Yeah, I know you've told me several stories from, what was the 70s and 80s, didn't you say?
late 60s, early 70s.
Okay.
And then I have another one that's from, I want to say, December 2011,
2012.
It was,
Okay, I didn't realize there was one that happened that soon.
It was one that was very, do you remember the one winter that was super warm?
Yes.
Oh, I'm trying to think. It was one of them. Well, let's get to the first one. The first one, family-wise, now these are all outside of Akron. Even my third one, it's all outside of Akron. And the third one, I haven't really told a whole lot. The first one, my family moved to Ohio, late 60s. And my grandpa, with being sick, he was on a water pill. So, you know how that is when, you know, you got to get up in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And the bathroom faced west, the window. The bottom, you know how you, back then in the 70s, 80s, 60s, they had that plastic crinkle stuff that just stuck to the window like a big sticker. They had that.
Yeah,
bottom.
We still have that. Most of my windows are still covered with it.
So he my grandpa was, you know, looking out. And now, this is in the middle of the wintertime, and between our yard and our neighbor's yard, which was just south of us, there was a pole with a light on it, lit up both backyards. And when he came back to bed, he told my grandma, because my grandma had told me this story, that he could figure out why a guy in a fur coat was walking barefoot 3 foot snow. That was kind of weird, because back then, everyone always said, a guy, it's a man.
Yeah.
The other story would have been early. Now, my mom was born in 60, so she would have been around 8 at the time. The next one, she would have been a tad bit older. Now, in the area, it was all farmland. Back in the 60s and 70s, there was maybe 5 or 6 houses at the end of this road. The main road was dirt road, one-lane dirt road. Was mostly, because the farmhouse actually still's there. It's at the end of the road. And behind the barn, it's Tuscarawas River. Runs parallel with the main road. Of course, it's completely different. It was all built up in the 80s. But it was almost all corn, and I know there was cows. The other story, it was where our house was up too. Now, you know, houses have peaks. The garages usually were peaked. Well, this one was sloped. Back then, it was sloped. And there was 4 or 5 young boys. And they had heard, now I'm assuming this maybe was summer. They had heard about the 7-foot guy stalking around at night. So they're like, ooh, you know, at that age, you know, early teens, they want to see. They were laying, you know, a couple of them were laying on the garage. And all of a sudden, they heard something, and I don't know how long they were out there, but heard something moving around. And it stopped at the edge of the garage. Now, its head was above the edge of the garage, staring at him, and just looked at him for, I don't know how long. They pretended to lay there and sleep, but they were watching it. It walked off. They bolted for the house. The other story I have, it was December 2011. Now, the funny part is, the BRFO has a story in August, exact same spot.
Ooh.
Literally the exact same spot. Now, we were walking around, and we didn't stay very long because all you could hear was guns going off. But we're walking around. It was a really warm December. And we found a tree facing the boat dock. The boat, you know, where the people launch their boats for fishing. Was a tree in kind of a hill, and it went up the tree. And we found, kind of buried in leaf litter, but you could still see it. Now, Ken's 6'4", so he thought he'll recreate the path. Now, these tracks were much larger than his feet, and he's size 15. So he steps on the outside of the tracks, and he's struggling to do step from step to step. But it went up and around the tree and kind of stopped at the edge of the tree, as if something was looking around the tree at to where the water was.
Hmm.
Like I said, we didn't stick around too long because all we could hear was, like, people hunting, guns going off. We're like, don't.
You don't want to be there be there around there without protection.
Right. Now, I brought up the story for the BRFO. Now, this one happened in August. It was just a few months difference. But they were, it's a husband and wife, and they were catfishing late at night. And they noticed weird sounds and stuff in the back, you know, going on in the woods. So they threw the fish in the back of the truck. And as they're, you know, gathering up all their stuff, their fish disappears.
Ooh.
They thought, okay, maybe they just jumped out. But they had a 7 and a 15 pound. It was parked. The truck was parked, yeah. And they come back and it's missing.
The truck or just the fish?
The fish. No. Okay. The fish, because they thought that maybe the catfish jumped out of the back of the truck, but it was nowhere to be found. The because you know when you put them on the lines, the fish?
Yeah.
And it was all missing. But this story is actually one reason why I wanted to do an early investigation on my own. And we found the tracks. And we actually found a deer. We went back like a week later and found the head and gave it to Heather. But we found an entire carcass of a deer with just bones, whitewashed bones.
Wow.
I had talked to a few people that hunt, and they think that maybe the deer was hit by a car and, you know, not hunting season, dumped the body.
Yeah.
But
that would make sense.
But we went back and got the skull and gave it to Heather. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. But that's the only family ones, because even if you go in the BRFO, the early 80s, there's a lot in Mogador, which is just north of where I grew up.
Yeah, and a lot of, if you get out of the downtown of most of those cities, it's mainly woods.
Well, and growing up, there was always stories, too, about Bigfoot, about in Akron. Do you know over by Rolling Acres? I guess there's like a big area that's like behind it or somewhere right there that people like to go mudding all the time. Because Ken grew up in Ken grew up in Kenmore. He said that there was always stuff like that. But see, the thing is it was always, everyone always considered a guy, a person. I don't know if it's just because it was walking upright or not. I mean, have you seen, well, like.
That's one of those, like, I think a lot of the paranormal creatures, cryptids, you know, spirits, they're all usually considered male. And then I think it's been a lot recently people said, well, maybe that's not exactly the one that I saw. It looked more female to me. And I think it's just people automatically assume.
Well, if you look at it as an animal standpoint, the guys are always, like, going around their territory, if you look at it that way.
Yes.
Checking their territory, checking, making sure there's no other males. And the females and the young are always in the middle.
Yes.
They're always well camouflaged. They're always in the center. The guys are always, you know, constantly roving, whether they're teenagers or full, you know, the alpha male, they're always going around and around. So yes. That would kind of make sense, too.
If you look well, at and it, I believe there was one story that he did tell at the presentation that there was a female Sasquatch that wandered into the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was just really confused because he hadn't seen a Sasquatch to begin with, but let alone female.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting. And I know the one that they were talking about, the picture of the female on the camera. On the,
yes.
I know that one was on the BRFO. That one's been on like on all the monster stuff. It was a guy in his apple orchard and his apples were being taken. So he set up the camera to see if he could find, you know, what was taking his apples, you know, thinking it was locals, but it being looked like a young female with an infant stuck to here, but she was kind of crouched over, bent over. It's just one still picture, but it was very weird.
Hmm.
It was just one black and white picture. But I mean, with this stuff coming up into the fall, I would love to go and do some of the investigations. Because I've tried, but Lucy was bored out of her skull, and Ken just cannot sit quiet long enough. Because like I have, I don't know if it's just because I'm female, I have sensitive ears. And I'm always like, shh, keep quiet, keep down. But it's like, I hear stuff sometimes that he doesn't. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with he works in a factory. So he's just used to loud. And his family is very loud. It's like, I hear a lot of things. Like, I don't know. I always sense things when things are not quite right. But I would like to go on some expeditions. Even if we just go up to the falls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're probably not going to find a whole lot here in the falls.
No. There was one. There was one super recent. Hold on. There was one in 2015 was the latest.
Where at?
Virginia Kendall.
Okay, that would make sense.
Oh, that's cool. Though I have one that's May 2015 in Virginia Kendall, the lake.
Okay.
Which we saw the lake.
Yes.
And then 2 years later, homeowners observed two tall figures walking single file near the falls, near Cuyahoga Valley National Park.
Huh.
But there was another one. Where was it? That was Summit. Huh. It might not be updated. But there was one that was... Oh, this is cool. This one's really new, too. September 2015. Two figures seen in the shadows of Mohican State Park. That's another place I used to love going. Which, that's...
You said shadowy figures?
Yeah. Seen in the shadows. Two tall figures in the shadows at Mohican State Park.
That's interesting.
2015. Yeah. This is cool.
Yeah, see, I don't have the Bigfoot experiences like you have, even the stories. And honestly, in my opinion, until the day I suddenly look over and there's something, I'm still going to be a huge disbeliever.
Well, and see, that's why I believe in the unknown. I want to know. I believe in the possibilities of something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I love the stories, you know. It's like, oh, that's cool. You know, there's a chance. But at the same time, it's like, till I see it. Well, till that thing comes up behind me.
Mm-hmm. Well, with us being, you know, I almost look at us as a species as we're getting stupider and stupider. We've got technology. We've got Pokemon Go. We've got, you know, all of that stuff going on.
And look what Pokemon Go has done to a lot of really stupid people.
They were stupid in the first place.
It's weeded out the stupid.
Oh, people are going to be stupid anyways. I know a lot of, our friends that it's gotten them out of the house and they've dropped weight playing it.
And I'm happy, yeah. But it's the smart people who are doing that.
Yes, yes. It's the smart ones. But I think if the dumb ones are... But those are the ones that breed like rabbits anyways. You ever notice that?
Yes.
It's the smart ones that breed like rabbits. I concur here. Yeah. You know why? Because I have a girl, the one that I told you that they kind of let her go. She got four kids.
Okay.
They breed like rabbits. But I would like to go on some of these expeditions. I have a feeling on some of the ones, it may not be Bigfoot we find.
Yeah.
It would be other man-made growing things.
Yeah.
Is what my what I think has been spotted.
Or the people with some of the stories, if they didn't see Bigfoot, if they didn't actually see Bigfoot, it was probably because of those things that they saw Bigfoot.
Well, that was another one. Have you seen the black bear in New Jersey? They call him, I think, Petals.
Yes.
That is creepy. I feel bad for him, but that is creepy. But you notice... Did you watch the full video of him walking around?
I've seen several videos, yeah.
Where he can walk on his hind legs, but it's not for very long periods of time.
No, yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, you look at a dog, the dogs do a lot of the same thing sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, that you can walk upright, but not for long because their bodies just aren't made for that.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's another reason, you know, with the whole, like, Bigfoot, that makes me kind of wonder what it is. Because, you know, everyone's like, oh, Bigfoot's only been around since the Patterson videos. But Bigfoot's been around forever. For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Maybe even thousands of years before the Patterson-Gimli film.
Yeah, there's a reason that film was made. And it was because they were curious about this thing that they've heard stories of.
Exactly. And they had the ability and he had the money to go out and try to find it. But... And I could see how some were like, well, why didn't you shoot it? Why didn't you take video? I could see why some people have a hard time doing that now. I think the only way to be able to get something is if we get like a GoPro and have it mounted on our personal body that would see out what we see that's constantly videotaping.
Exactly. Because the problem with having a camera on you at all times on your phone is that when something happens that you want to take a picture of, even if you just have it set up where you press the button and it opens the camera immediately, if you're looking at the thing and you're freaked out, you're not going to immediately think to reach down into your pocket, grab your phone, and start filming.
Exactly. I mean, I do that now. Like, I like to take pictures of, like, buildings or different stuff like that. Yes. Same thing. You know, I should have took a picture of that. Oh, that was really cool.
You know? Yeah, and you don't think of it until suddenly it's gone and you realize, crap, why didn't I do that? Or like, yeah, I'm going to go to a festival and I'm going to bring a camera with me to take pictures of all the wonderful things. And then it's like, I brought my camera with me. Did I take any pictures? No, I was too busy experiencing it.
Exactly.
So really, I think that's the whole reason why there any people keep saying, why isn't there evidence? Well, you go out into the woods and you constantly take pictures and not experience anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, and there's also, you know, they're like the whole thing about the bodies. You can't find the bodies.
Yes.
America in general, especially East Coast, how many fossils do you find?
Exactly.
You don't really find many fossils at all. Like, even if you, say, have a pet that passed away and you bury them, they're going to be gone in a couple years. You
know, yes.
Even if you bury them deep, they're going to be gone. The earth, the vegetation and everything, it's so acidic, it doesn't last. Because I saw the video that they did a tester with a deer. It was gone in 2 weeks. Gone.
The main reason why there aren't a lot of actual dinosaur skeletons.
Mm-hmm. They're all...
Because most of them have been torn apart through age.
Yeah. And they're all out west. And that's very dry, very arid.
Exactly. Well, I think we have like a total of maybe 2 or 3 full body skeletons anymore.
Mm-hmm,
and the ones that are touring are just, you know, are just casts of those.
Mm-hmm. And most of the ones that they do find that's full is what? Africa?
Yes.
Asia, some parts of Asia. And what is it, Argentina, Chile?
Yeah, they very well aren't the same bodies.
No.
Yeah, it's like, here's like a femur from this one and a toe from this one. And it's sort of, you know, a Frankenstein monster.
Mm-hmm. I started to read an article. We'll probably use this for the next, since we talk about dinosaurs. They found a new dinosaur, but it was just a footprint. No bones, just a footprint.
Yeah. So even that, again, it's not even, they didn't even find anything from a body. It was just, we haven't seen this foot before.
Well, getting back to Bigfoot, you know, it's a lot of people talk about, you know, it's a newer thing. But the thing is if you go back in history, Native Americans, they always refer to them as, especially with the East Coast, refer them as the giant tribe. If you go in Europe, they all had, I mean, every area had different names, like troll, green man, wild man. I mean, I have hundreds and hundreds of lists of names in Europe that they called them, but they were always something man, which back then they always named things for what little area they were in.
Yes.
Creek, house. And, you know, with houses don't survive, so they may call this area something house, but the house could still be gone, but the name still survives.
Yes.
But back then, they didn't have lights. You know, if you go back to that far back, they didn't have lights. So what happened? They would hear things, but they would never really go out and see it. You know, that...
There's noise. It's dangerous.
Exactly.
You know, it sounds dangerous. Let's just stay away.
Well, a lot of the different stories, even here in America, the Native Americans always told their kids, don't go in the woods. Such and such is going to eat you. It's a couple of them, it's a female, whatever, monster, Bigfoot, it's going to throw you in a basket, eat you. And there's another one where it's a male, it's going to do the same thing, going to eat you. And there's other Native American stories, recent too, of a Bigfoot chasing down a truck, you know, grandma driving a truck or with kids or whatever, just having a good time. And the kids sit in the back and Bigfoot coming up and grabbing one of the kids and running off. That's pretty recent too.
I haven't heard that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm not watching anime, I'm watching the documentaries. I watch a lot of those. And there was a couple different, well, that and all the different stuff I listened to, but yeah, that was one of them. She was in the truck and driving the truck, and there was kids, and it swiped a kid. There's other stories like that that I've read and heard throughout the 80s where people, you know, got scared and they all pile in the truck, and it's running beside the truck trying to get whoever is in the back of the truck.
Oh, jeez.
I'm like, for starters, I would have a bat, a metal bat strapped to my back.
Yes.
But that's another thing. Don't run. Don't run. That activates the predator in anything. Don't run.
Also a good reason not to pile everyone in the back of a pickup truck.
Well, if you're... See, what that is... See, even me growing up, we used to do that. Just take little rides in the back of the truck. So, I mean, if you're just putzing around, you know, the reservation, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, would you expect a Bigfoot to come up and swipe a kid out of the back as you're speeding away? No. But we could go on and on with all these Bigfoot
stories. Yeah, and we probably will later on. I keep thinking, like, some of the episodes we do, we need to just do one topic and just go on about it.
Maybe the next one we'll do is we'll do our own experience. We'll go, we'll spend a night, find somewhere and go spend the night and see what we can do. Because I do have a campground down Salt Fork I could stay at. My dad and stepmom have a campground out, like they stay at. They have, I don't know, rent out a couple plots. Could probably stay down there. And it's a camper, not a tent.
Yeah.
So we'll see what we can do on that. All right. Enough about Bigfoot. Do you have another story?
This we talking about creatures coming and attacking youngsters. So I think that could easily lead into one of the stories that you found this past couple weeks.
You talk about the drone?
I'm talking about the robo security cop.
Oh, yeah.
I think it kind of just leads perfectly right in.
Okay, this story's slightly old, but still hilarious. It happened in California, doesn't surprise me.
Well, as of when we're recording, it's only about 2 weeks old.
Yeah, just about. But in California, a robot, which we talked about the last one, where they're using the robots to, you know, help out security. Security guard knocked over a 17-month-old kid and ran over his right foot. The robot weighs about 300 pounds and is 5 feet tall. It's one of two security robots in the mall employed by the mall. And yes, they are on the payroll. They make about $6.50 an hour.
Which is what gets paid to the company that built them.
Exactly.
Or rather, employs them to the different malls. Which is pretty good, being even though it's less than minimum wage. But given the fact that the robot, you know, uncaringly ran over the kid's foot and just kept going.
Okay.
I mean, I could see humans doing that. But they would stop later and then get mad.
In a public statement, King Scope blamed the kid. K5, number 13, which was the robot, was patrolling at a local shopping center when approximately 2:39 p.m., a child left the vicinity of his guardians and began running towards the machine. The machine veered to the left to avoid the child. The child ran forwards directly into the front quarter of the machine, at which point the machine stopped and the kid fell on the ground. The robot itself denies that the collision even happened. The machine sensors...
They all do.
The machine sensors registered no vibration alert. The machine motors did not fault as they would when encountering an obstacle. Once the guardians retrieved the child and the path was clear, the machine resumed patrolling. The entire incident lasted a few seconds, and a scrape on the child's leg and a bruise with a minor swelling was reported. So the robot, there's the robot denying. It's like, I didn't feel the kid. It didn't happen. Oh, this is getting crazy with some of this.
Is it last episode we were talking, I don't remember if I mentioned just the fact that McDonald's, there was a couple of McDonald's that were starting to set up automated cashiers.
I saw that.
I don't remember if I said that the last episode, but this sort of follows with the same thing. It's like all these places are getting, you know, automated programming to replace humans. And look what happens.
I think, I don't know if it was you and me or Ken, but we're going on how everybody wants like $15 an hour to work at McDonald's and all this stuff. But you get replaced by
You get replaced by a robot that makes less than minimum wage.
Get replaced by a touchscreen. Well, I doubt the ones at McDonald's are even getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
But they are closing a lot of them. McDonald's is kind of floundering right now.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Walmart to, you know, just have a robot that walks through the parking lot and picks up carts on its own.
They do at Aldi's. That's why you put a quarter in the cart. You want your quarter back, you put the cart back.
And that's why you have to do it yourself there.
But they
hire people. Like, there are people at Walmart that specifically go around and gather the carts up.
That's like that in all the places, all the grocery stores and stuff.
But I'm waiting for, you know, they'd just be replaced by robots. And then the robot hits a car.
Robot runs you down with like 500 carts at once.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This little robot hitting it, running over Tyler's foot. I can only imagine the damage.
I doubt the robot even ran it over. I think it stopped and the kid stopped.
Yeah.
I don't think the kid actually was run over. Because I would think at 300 pounds, a 17-month-old, I think the kid's foot would have been broken. Bruised or scraped. I think anybody would have. But that's another instance where blame the parents. Where's your kid?
Exactly.
Where's your kid? You should, you know. I know me growing up, you know, we always were right there. Whether we were hanging on to the cart or hands or something, we didn't go anywhere. I still sort of do that now, you know.
Exactly.
I'll be right back, I'm gonna go over here, things like that. But talking about robots and what robots are doing, this one, first it was reported vaccinated or vaccine laced M&Ms were going to be dropped by drones to save an endangered, was a Blackfoot ferret.
Yes.
And it was, which I'm like, that's kind of cool. You know, basically give it to their food and then they eat their food.
Yes.
But.
And if something is unknowing, you know, like if you look at how, you know, try to feed a pill to a dog, you know, and I ate that piece of cheese, that pill is still there, just so you know. You know, this is one of those to easily feed the, you know, easily, you know, vaccinate the ferrets. You don't have to gather them all up and, you know, you vaccinate them with a needle, each individual one, and just let them go about their life in nature and not interfere.
Yeah, but that's how they are. But there's always, you know, that's probably how they got sick in the first place. You know, they were trying to poison the prairie dogs, and then the prairie dogs, you know, their population's decreasing. So since they're decreasing, the black-footed ferret, a plague came through, and because, you know, they're weaker, they don't have, you know, maybe they get a fungus or some or a bacteria from the prairie dogs. Maybe that's what's affecting them now.
Exactly. Whatever was left over.
Mm-hmm. But now they're...
As a result.
But then they recanted and says not M&Ms, it's pellets. So they're going to be putting a vaccine in a pellet for the prairie dogs to eat to vaccinate the ferrets. So...
And I mean, it could still be M&Ms very well. Like, you know, like you look at the generic trail mix and it says, you know, candy discs instead of M&Ms. But you open it up and like, yeah, it's M&Ms.
It
could just, you know, it's not M&M's, it's not sponsoring this program, therefore they are not M&M's.
But, I mean, what's the vaccine going to do to the prairie dogs? Is it going to affect
their... This doesn't actually say, the article in the video.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to actually affect them?
Oh, okay, and actually I'm going down here in the comments, definitely not M&M's. because chocolate could very well be toxic to the ferrets.
Yeah, I just see that too. It's called the Black Death.
Yeah.
Oh, people can get infected. That's cool. We can get the Black Death
from ferrets. We've had the Black Death several times throughout history.
Oh, but yeah, it's interesting. This is from Montana too. I was just there last summer. I think I saw one too because we were playing with the ground squirrel or the chipmunks.
Yeah.
And I seen something big and could have been a marmot too. I don't know. It was pretty big down the rock face walking around. I'm not sure how big these guys get, but we'll see. We'll see if drones dropping vaccinated pellets save them can help.
Yes.
They're using robots for a lot of stuff anymore.
And for things like this, this is the perfect thing. Perfect use for a robot. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, because people can't get to some of those places.
Exactly. And it's not interfering. It's a drone flying in the sky. It's not somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not somebody, you know, going out in there and suddenly, ooh, what's this? Mm-hmm. Human? What's human?
Yeah. Yeah. But you have a couple stories too, huh?
Yes. I have two stories here. Only one of them is from, yeah, one of them is here from Weak and Weird. Now, this is only about a week or so old, but I imagine the incidents in this story happened a while back, just based on what they're talking about. See, you're really into Bigfoot stories.
I'm just into
I am really into ghost stories.
Ghosts.
Yes. And mainly because of the history of saying this, but also just because it's weird when I hear some of the stuff that happens.
Hey, I've got some personal stories on that too. Like stuff that actually happened. And then
like some of the ghost stories, like, okay, I can't handle. Like, I listened to an interview with a guy who did an investigation on Robert the Doll, and that just freaked me out.
Robert is, I think that is like demonized. Like it has to be possessed.
But back to the story I was talking about. Apparently, where did this happen? It doesn't actually say the city that this happened in. So that kind of says right there, oh, maybe it didn't happen if it doesn't have proof. But a man who runs a convenience store has noticed every morning when he comes into work that the motion activated cameras have recorded throughout the night. And when he comes in the morning, there are footprints that lead to a wall. Just like dirty footprints, as if someone's walking through the room, and then it just stops at a wall.
Makes me wonder if that wall was always there.
Exactly. Like maybe that wall before he owned this store, this wall wasn't there. But also the footprints are dirty. Like somebody would be walking outside.
Huh.
So perhaps long before this building was even built.
That is interesting.
But he has noticed, every morning he comes in and sees this. But this has also happened during the day. Apparently, randomly during the day, there will be child-sized footprints behind the counter. And no children, he doesn't have any children, and obviously no children would be working there. But randomly, people who work there have noticed, they'll look down and there'll just be a child's footprint right next to them. And apparently it usually happens around the same time. It doesn't say when, but usually around the same time during the middle of the day, the footprint will just appear.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, weird to think, okay, what is this, you know, is it a spirit, you know, just from long before he built this, you know, not necessarily he, but whoever built this convenience store built it, or is somebody doing a really good prank? You know, invisible ink only shows up certain points.
Come on, Harry Potter. No, I've had some stuff, because I know, like, this area is highly haunted with the canal. Like, along the canal.
Yeah.
Here in Akron. But I've had stories of... It seems almost everywhere I've lived has been haunted. Like, Pittsburgh was haunted. I lived on Mackinac Island for a couple months. It was haunted. When I worked at the Civic Center, it was, you know, I had stuff.
Oh, Civic is really, yeah.
When I worked there, I was upstairs, and I was getting ready for a show, so I didn't have any lights on. I had one light on in the middle. Now,
yeah,
you know, with concessions, they have the I don't know what you want to call it, the top part, so you can put stuff up underneath.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there, getting things ready, and I had two stacks of plastic cups upside down. Now, you think if, say, a gust of wind would come in, it would be the short one that would scoot, right?
Yeah.
It was the big one. I watched it. I watched it move. So I'm sitting there shaking things, thinking maybe I shook it and it slid. Nothing. So we proceeded that entire night to move the cups back together. And it would move the big stack of cups. I watched it slide, the big cups. It slid about 6 inches from... the little stack. And it was up underneath. There was no way anybody could have touched it. There was absolutely nobody around but me.
That's to say, there wasn't anything underneath the bottom cup.
No. It was just metal. Because it was the coolers. The coolers and where we get the ice and all that. There was nothing at all. No. But we proceeded that entire night to move the big cups back and forth. They'll move it back to the short stack and then it would slide.
Yeah.
Same distance all night long. But I watched it move.
Oh, wow.
And then when I lived on Mackinac, you know, with being French and Indian War and all that, you've got the British and the Indians and the British and the French and all of that going up there fighting.
That whole area is just, you know, history of death.
Well, I had three rooms. Now, I never saw anything, but I'm more of like what they consider, I guess, like a sensitive. Like, I feel things and I'm just like, you know... I need to go. But I had three places that I was working in by myself because, you know, if I wasn't working in the restaurant, I was doing working in the catering. So I had to, you know, go in and roll silverware and get ready for whatever was going on. I was very uncomfortable in three rooms and didn't know why. When I transferred to Wisconsin, which was its sister, once it closed down, its sister resort, I talked to one of the managers that he came with the group, and he told me of all the rooms that I was in, what they saw. The one room, I guess it was haunted by a little girl. There was another one, it was two or three soldiers and a female. They would march out of one wall and go into another wall. And I forget what the other one was. There was another one that I was very uncomfortable, and I don't remember what that one was. But the one where they were marching, really, I'm like, I didn't like that one, because that was, like I said, it was another room where no lights on, you're sitting underneath one light working. Yeah. Of course, Pittsburgh's very old, too, and Pittsburgh's very haunted.
Yes, very.
Well, the dorms I was in, they were very, very old. We had some older people that were still living in the apartments, and we had one that we think he did, like, pass away in the lobby.
Ooh.
But, okay, now, you know how your apartment building is.
Yeah.
You know, is there a way, this time of year, is there a way that you could have the... air on, and you can go in your bedroom and see your breath?
Not this time of year.
I had an apartment like that one of my friends were in. Yeah, if you're drinking and you're trying to cleanse a spirit, don't do it by yourself and don't do it drunk.
Yeah, any dealing with spirits while indulging in spirits?
Well... What happened is, it was on, say, the third floor, and there was three girls, and that spirit was originally down there, and it was physically, like, hurting them. Like, it got to the point, I was friends with them, it got to the point that the three girls were sleeping in one bed, and it would rip the blankets off of them, stuff like that. So my friend, who was above them, he decided one night he was going to make this entity go away. It didn't go away. He made it so it was going back and forth. So you've got, above them, three large guys, like, the size of Ken. Big boys. The way that these apartments were, it was, like, three people to one bedroom. So usually, two would stay in the bedroom, most of them converted the dining room into a bedroom. And I was in there, And he was showing me, now, mind you, there was three big guys. He's the only one that had the balls to stay in the bedroom. The other two guys stayed outside, one in the living room, one in the dining room. And I remember, you know, this time of year, it's hot in Pittsburgh. Yeah. He went in, he's like, here, look. And I went in and I could see my breath. Like, it was that cold. But when you go out to, like, the living room area, it was hot. It was warm.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was trippy. A lot of my friends, because the bathroom was across from there, a lot of my friends, guys, mind you, refused to go to the bathroom in their apartment. They would go back to theirs.
Mm-hmm. I've heard stories of people who had things like that, but not necessarily with breasts. Like, I heard one story from some podcast that somebody was saying that they were telling that their neighbors would complain that their TV would be too loud. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, from their TV room, you couldn't hear the TV at all. Mm-hmm. But if you'd leave that room, suddenly it would be extremely loud. Like, you turned the volume up all the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one apartment I stayed in for a few months, it was just a little studio apartment, and there was two of us in there. And my roommate left, and before they transferred me to another apartment, I had it by myself. And I swear that one was haunted.
I think it usually gets worse, like, if you're alone versus if you have other people there with you.
Have you ever gone to a door and you sense something on the other side of the door just before you open it?
Oh, yeah.
That's how this was. I could feel or hear music on the other side of the door. And I unlock it and it was done. But I had some, I'm not going to say on the podcast, but I had some other stuff happen in that apartment. I'll tell you off recording if you want to know what happened to that apartment. No, it's not funny. It's not funny at all. But yeah. I don't know, the weird always seems to, like, I don't know if I'm drawn to it or it's drawn to me, but I've had some really strange things throughout my life that has happened to me. It's very weird stuff.
Well, I've got one more story here. I have two, but one reminded me of the other. One I heard a while back, and in fact, the article that I found just that reminded me of it was from back in November. But there was a body that was found underneath the road while they were fixing up the road. I guess it was in really bad condition. Mm-hmm. And apparently the body, it was, and of course now I don't see the person's name, but this was in Indiana. Nancy Barnett, her body had been underneath the road, and it wasn't originally in the road to begin with. It was in the graveyard, but they had to relocate a bunch of bodies because they were putting this road in. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the graveyard. And her family refused to let them move her body, so it wound up just getting left there, and the road was paved over her. And they recently found her body, and they're doing tests to see what happened to her, how she died, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But this story reminded me, I thought of this story as I found this other site, 7 Haunted Streets in Ohio.
Interesting.
And it made me kind of wonder, well, I wonder what that road was like with her body down there for so long. Mm-hmm. And just people like, oh, I did not quite realize this, that this body was under here. And FYI, if you do a search for body found under road, you're just going into a rabbit hole that's not going to end. I found this out this morning.
Well, there's, I mean, you got to think, it's pretty much like that wherever, because you have no idea what's going to be under the road.
Exactly. But apparently, there at least this article only has 7. I guarantee there are a lot more haunted streets in Ohio than these 7 streets.
Well, and how many of them, how many of the streets, you know, with the bridges and stuff are the, you know, Crybaby Bridge?
Oh, yeah.
I can think of a couple here just in this area.
And this list doesn't even include bridges. So that's what I'm saying. It's a lot worse than that.
I did find my map for crazy things in Ohio. I did find it.
Oh, good, good.
So we could sit down, get together, and sit down and look at it.
But this list has, like I said, but I'll just list them off. Walhalla Road in Columbus. This is in North Columbus, apparently. Is apparently haunted by a man who killed his wife before committing suicide on the bridge. So that's been interesting since he didn't even die on the road that's apparently haunted. Lick Road in Cincinnati. And the road goes through the woods and dead ends. And apparently this is haunted. Schrader Road in Chillicothe. And this road goes through a railroad tunnel. In fact, this might be a crybaby bridge. Because it says you drive through the tunnel at night with your lights on, with your lights off and windows down.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that sounds like one of the crybaby bridges. Euler Road in Bowling Green, which is also crybaby bridge. Buckley Road in Oxford, Ohio. Apparently, this is off of Route 732 North, and is haunted by the Phantom Bicyclist. Egypt Road in Salem, yet another crybaby bridge. So far, there have been at least 3. And Pond Run Road in New Richmond, haunted by a hook man.
I think that story is like all over the place. The guy running around the hook.
Oh yeah, and that one's been. This one doesn't look like the regular hookman story. It says a ghost with a hook looking for his hand, and his disturbed parents whose house was struck by lightning. Legend has it that their bodies were found, but all was left with all that was left of the child was his hand.
Interesting.
So that's about all that I have for today.
I have so many like ghost personal stories and Bigfoot. Well, not as much, but more ghosts.
I have my own personal story, but it's not as much ghost. It's ghost, but not like I actually saw one.
Well, have you ever gone on a ghost tour where there's like a vortex?
I personally have not been on a ghost tour.
I have. And this is the weird part. They gave the whole... It was a pretty good group of us. Dowsing rods? Now, this was Canal Fulton, which...
Okay.
It's right on the canal. You know, it's right down the road from Akron. And they had this area mapped... Or, I'm trying to think what it was. It was one thing, and then it was like a... I would say a morgue type thing. At one point, it was a... I think a furniture store at one point, but it was in the basement, and on the they had it marked out with tape, and they were like, "Oh, go in the vortex," and you could find it with the dowsing rods. Now it was kind of like in the point of it, and the dowsing rods crossed. Now I went in and put my hands in it. Now it's summer, but basements are cool, so my hands were cool. They weren't hot or cold; they were just cool. And I put my hands in there. As soon as I put my hands in there and pulled them out, my hands felt like, because even Ken touched them, it felt like I put my hands in an oven. My hands were very, very, very warm.
Wow.
We have a list of stuff that we need to do this fall to winter. We need to go on some ghost hunts and Bigfoot hunts. And
there will definitely, it will be August in 2 days. So it's basically August now. So we've got... Coming up in October, there's going to be a ton.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't mind going to try to find Mothman, because there's a thing in West Virginia about Mothman I think would be fun to go to if we
is that where the Mothman Festival is?
Yes, that in West Virginia. I think it's October. I don't know if we can or can't go. We'll find out.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't think we're going to be sleeping much. We're not.
No, weak. No.
We're not going to be able to hibernate.
There's too much stuff to do.
That's. You need to see my calendar on my phone. It's so full of stuff.
And yet we keep talking about doing more things.
We're young. Why not, right? Why not? So, you've got a horror picture thing you're going to.
Yeah, today, as it is today, I'm going to a horror movie festival here over in Quaker. And then I'm probably dressing up and going to go get my Harry Potter book tonight. So,
that's going
to
be awesome.
I got a ton to do today.
I heard the Harry Potter thing's going to be great, though.
Oh, yeah. And just hopefully it doesn't rain.
Ken's working, so he has the car, so if I want to go anywhere, I gotta walk.
I'll grab an umbrella.
I'm not gonna melt. Not much. Alrighty, so I will see you later, Bart.
Yes, I will see you later. And it looks like this is end for today.
Don't forget, you can find us. I'm going to murder him. No, I had my notes laying here, and he took them.
Oh. You can find us on Facebook at Tales from the Darkness and on Twitter at TFTD Podcast. You can email us at TFTDpodcast@gmail.com.
Weebie Geeks.
Yes. WeebieGeeksPC.com.
That's the big one. And Tangibot.
Yes, and we are also part of the Tangibot Network.
All right, Bart, I'm out. You out? I'm going to get some breakfast.
I am out.
Because I slept.
And we will see you guys next time.